You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, our next guest is an entrepreneur turned investor. She's the founding partner of Parliament Ventures and thinks American VC needs to be pouring into Asian markets to propel innovation, tech, and finance. Really needs to be more diverse in all ways. Diane Yu is with us to join us with more on her thinking. She's on the phone in New York City. Diane, nice to have you here with Creedy and myself. How are you? And tell us a little bit about your company and what you're focusing on.
Hi, everybody. Yes, thanks for having me on today. Parliament Ventures Fund, and in my history, my experience as an American VC working with the Asian markets, I have over 40 investments with two unicorns. And as a fund founder to angel networks, investment clubs, and venture firms, the last in a partnership with the largest medical center of their innovation arm, I work with a lot of Asian markets. I am the official U.S. partner to the Korean government, where I see over 1,000 deals on a yearly basis and advise 50-plus probably investment deal. And so that's what I do at Parliament Ventures.
Diane, talk to us. First off, I'm just reading your bio here. First off, you are a fellow Texan, so shout out from me as well. I grew up in Dallas. And I'm also seeing that you were formerly the managing director of the Rice Angel Network, which also I was an intern on Angel Network. So this is, I'm learning so much about you. We're bonding on the radio. This is great. But I really want to ask you, sorry?
Yeah, that's incredible.
That was incredible. And on top of that, just the cherry on this pretty great Sunday that I think is that we're both Asian American, which I think is pretty cool. Like I said, bonding on the radio, folks, you're seeing it live. But one of the questions I really want to ask you is what one of the hurdles are for, I say, Asian Americans getting into the space, because, of course, this is a growing space that's very, very fast, especially all across the country. What are the challenges that you see?
Absolutely. You know, one of my passions is really putting more Asian American executives, you know, woman executives at the top level of finance and venture capital. And so I have actually a media platform called Identity Unveiled, which is a passion project. And out of that, we have interviewed countless Asian American woman executives and hearing their stories and putting it out there to inspire so many other women. You know, what I'm hearing, one of the common denominators is there was no mentor before me. I was the one that broke that glass ceiling. And so putting those stories out, we truly hope to inspire and empower more Asian American women to get into these executive positions. As you know, there's a huge huge absence of that here.
Well, what's interesting too, right? And Diane, we talk about this, that we know by having diversity on boards and in senior management, it can impact positively a company's top and bottom lines by excluding people in your management, if you will, or in the investment decision-making process, you know, or by ignoring markets and not being as inclusive, you know, you really are missing out on opportunities.
Absolutely. And, you know, actually, did you know, females, we make up half the population here, are actually the highest performer. That comes at no surprise, financial performance on venture capital, on entrepreneurship. So it's a really great deal. I think there should be more women at the top levels in executive positions.
So why isn't there? Is it, you know, I know people say pipeline issue. We had a great guest yesterday who's talked, it's not just about, you know, necessarily just general pipeline. There's things deeper than that.
There's so many reasons. You know, we need more champions out there, not only opportunities, but I think organizations like there are many organizations out there that are helping what you call accelerators, think tank and hubs and opportunities to create these pathways for women. And I really think we have to go hand in hand and work with the executives existing there and also create more opportunity to surrounding these women with these stories. And that's what we do at Identity Unveiled, actually. And so really getting the stories out there. And it's also being the most excellent at what you're doing. And we're seeing that even in the venture world, for example, you know, less than 2% of women are VC backed in this billion-dollar universe, right?
Right.
Less than 1% goes to BIPOC, people of color that are women. It's an incredible stat, and we hope to change that. And that's why I'm here today.
Well, talk to us about this kind of two-way street. I think we have about 30 seconds here. Talk to us about this two-way street here in investing in Asian markets, but also American VC funds benefiting from foreign investments. It kind of works both ways.
Right. So, you know, how can VC America, U.S. VC firms benefit from foreign investment? You know, a key role of VC firms provide portfolio companies expertise, networks to prepare for that exit, you know, IPO acquisition. And so a lot of these foreign investors will provide access, companies that will invest will provide access and generate better exit opportunities for the company. You know, Asia markets are leading tech economies. With the top four, China, Japan, India, Singapore, they provide really promising, sustainable, and investment destinations. And some of the benefits that come out of that obviously would be tax, location, cash grants, employment for foreign investors to continue expanding, but more so the demand of goods and manufacturing produced by these economies of scale will also strengthen these industries. But lastly, American VCs will have access to other large economies in Asia. As you know, Asian economies, hub economies, or the tiger economies rely on their surrounding countries to build stronger investment economies. Right.
Diane, we recently caught up with Alan Patrickoff. He's been in the venture capital space for 50 years. Love talking about him and investments, early investor in Apple Computer when it was still Apple Computer, not just Apple. You mentioned that you've made over 40 investments, including two unicorns. Tell us where you're investing, where you find the opportunities. And I know you are doing it in a diverse and inclusive way.
Yes, absolutely. The last one I did was a medical fund, currently we are investing in multiple industries, but really consumer now tech. As COVID and the pandemic opened a window of opportunity, that was really where we invested in and closed out the last fund.
So,
in Asia markets, for example, the leading ones that we're focusing on right now is biotech.
Biotech. See, it's interesting that you mentioned biotech because I was about to say, hey, talk to us about the tech, especially in Asia, where a lot of that big tech innovation is merging. Hey, it's actually been a big sticking point in terms of the relationship between the U.S. and China in particular. Talk to us a little bit about how you find those opportunities, those diamonds in the rough.
Absolutely. Well, you know, just for the sheer numbers, Asia dominates the top 10 countries in the world with the highest tech expertise, right? Korea, Japan, Singapore, and China. And so, you know, really, it's how do you get into these markets? Is I'm actually an official U.S. partner to the Korean government agency. We will focus on meeting over thousands of deals and face-to-face. I've probably done over 50 deals in terms of advising them on how to get investments in the U.S. market. And so if you're a VC trying to get into the U.S. market, it would be great if you get boots on the ground, right? Tapping a lifeline on the very best deals in that Asian market. And the VCs in Asia, you know, they always have firsthand access. So get those partnerships and teams locally in that region. For example, Sequoia Capital China is a great example of how they funneled capital into the Asian market. And they invested very early into the startups, strategically owning large stakes in the high profile Chinese IPO. So this position, for example, made for enviable foreign venture capital.
So now I'm curious, what are the challenges that come with bringing that foreign investment into the United States? Because it can't be easy in a country that's already seeing so much talent, so much kind of deals being attracted from around the world. What are the challenges that are involved in that process?
You know, there are a lot, for example, even in the medical, let's just keep it easy and simple, right? The terminology of what stage are you in is different, right? Valuations can be different. And then there's a lot of regulatory issues that we have to deal with as well. So it's always great to have boots on the ground, build a team there as we have and are continuing doing so.
So it's interesting. So what might be surprising? You mentioned that you're a U.S. partner to the Korean government agency that's focusing on venture capital acquisitions and doing consulting on those early stage companies. What are some of the trends that you are seeing? Because I love emerging world. Like I think about Africa and some of the things that they've done using their phone to be able to actually have a financial identity. So what are some of the interesting trends that, whether it's innovation, disruption, that are going on in Korea that might surprise some of our audience?
You know, during this pandemic, it's truly opened our eyes to see what the tech world is being thrown into this pandemic and what can come out of it. And so, Korea, for example, has really been a resilient country and has, in the midst of all these teetering economies as we close out the year end, they continue to be strong. And again, those industries, for example, are semiconductor, manufacturing, and also really big is biotech. The president of Korea has positioned Korea as the next and really in Asia, global biotech hub for a lot of foreign investments to come in. And so we're seeing a lot of that in terms of investments in Korea.
That's fascinating that you're talking about biotech, bringing biotechy into the United States, when you also have that same sentiment coming from Europe, a lot of European biotech trying to break very aggressively into the U.S. market.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about how, say, you have to compete with other parts of Asia, India, China, Russia, even if Russia counts as Asia, and in terms of where these deals are actually coming from.
Absolutely. So if you turn it the other way around, when we're investing in these Asian startups, we work with not only that country, but a motley of countries that surround it. For example, the emerging markets of Asia, in the Philippines, we will work with Singapore and Vietnam and Malaysia, the Tiger Cup economies, as you would say, because they need more foreign investment to really pull up that venture ecosystem. So, you know, when you're investing in some of these companies, you're really getting to work with a bigger picture of some Asian economies pulling in with co-investors.
When you look at what's going on in the startup space, and we just did a story, Diane, about the record number of startups that we saw in 2021. In fact, the amount of money, startups raising more venture capital funding than ever last year, more cities around the world starting to look like tech hubs. Silicon Valley, though, still in the lead. We look at early stage funding as an indicator of a healthy growing startup scene. It gives us some ideas to maybe of another market indicator. When you look at what's going up in the startup world, what does it tell you about the outlook?
There's incredible opportunity, and I think the pandemic has afforded a window of investment opportunities. And for us to go into these stable environments where the Asian in Asian markets where they're leading in tech, I think, you know, that's where we should put more investment. For example, the United Nations has awarded Korea number one for their investment promotion award. They have both incredible investment destinations by being so forward-thinking in digital future thinking on the digital side and high-tech global leaders and birthing more people there. So truly, investing in Asian markets, we're just going to spur more growth and development and opportunity to invest in.
Well, nice to, you know, check in with you and really shed light on something we don't talk a lot about and certainly sounds like we should. Diane Yu, she's founding partner at Parliament Ventures, on the phone in New York City.